Isaiah 1, 5, and 6, Isaiah makes an interesting statement to the nation of Israel. Why will ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even under the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed. They are not bound up. They have not been mollified with ointment. I find it interesting that in this particular text, Isaiah is talking about a diseased individual. But he's not talking about the nation of Israel being diseased physically. He's talking about the nation of Israel being diseased spiritually. You see, there is that inner man, and the inner man can be just as sick, can be just as diseased as the outer man can be. Notice the description. He said that the head is sick and the heart is faint. In other words, both inside and outside of this spiritual man was totally diseased. He makes mention that they are sick from the sole of their feet, even under the head. Notice this, there is no soundness in it. Folks, there was not one good thing about their spiritual condition that could be recognized. They were sick. They were diseased. They were sin-laden. Here was a nation who was totally overcome with iniquity. He describes them in some pretty horrid words, doesn't he? Notice the statement, wounds, bruises, putrefying sores. Sometimes in Scripture, sin is described as a leprosy of the soul. Leprosy was a real disease in Jesus' times, and in some countries, leprosy is still a horrible disease. What you see on the screen are two pictures of individuals with leprosy. One shows how leprosy can affect the head of an individual. The bottom one is a picture of the foot of an individual who has been infected with leprosy. And there is a horrible sore, an infected sore, and the doctor is cutting away portions of the dead skin that is there, trying to do the best they can do in order to help the agony of the patient. My friends, that is exactly the picture that Isaiah is using to describe the nation of Israel. You're sick. You're diseased. And they needed to be healed, didn't they? Here's the sad part. All men are diseased, aren't they? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every individual stands in need of what I refer to as the right medication. And fortunately for us, we have an individual known as the great physician. And he has the medication at his disposal. All we have to do is go to Jesus, and Jesus can apply the medication to our lives, and our lives can be totally, completely healed from the disease of sin. And the medication, very simply, is nothing more than the precious, powerful blood of Jesus Christ. For the next few moments, I want us to consider this topic, the blood of Christ, the right medication. If you walked in this morning and you looked at the board on which the songs are listed, you'll notice that we have about 200 there that we're going to be singing this morning. Not really that many. But I have asked Aaron to come and lead some songs as we go through this lesson that talk about this concept about which we're speaking. And now we're going to be turning to number 662, and he's going to lead us in two verses of There Is a Fountain. My friends, there is a fountain for the cleansing and the healing of sin, and that's the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners clutch beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners clutch beneath that blood, lose.
What I want us to do this morning is to make some comparisons between the medications that we take for our physical illness and this medication, the right medication of the blood of Christ applied to our lives. First, notice that this medication always, always heals. There have been a few times in my life when I've been sick, and guess what? The medications didn't work. One time we had moved back to Paris, Tennessee, and it got to be January, the 1st of February, and I started getting an infection of my sinuses. And when I start that, it gets bad pretty quickly. So I very quickly go to the doctor and I say, "Look, you've got to get me well." So he gives me a Z-Pak. And I take that Z-Pak for about 4 or 5 days, and for about a day or two, I'm feeling a little bit better, and then all of a sudden, it hits me all over again. I run back to the doctor. I say, "Doc, you've got to get me well. I got to be preaching." He gives me another Z-Pak. So I take that Z-Pak. I feel good for a couple of days. Guess what? It hits me all over again. I run back to the doc. "Doc, you've got to get me well." He says, "Bend over." And he popped me with a big shot of steroids. And then he looked at me and he says, "Vic, if this doesn't do it, I don't have anything else." You see, sometimes medications just don't do the trick, do they? But folks, the reality of the matter is this. The blood of Jesus always heals individuals of sin. Anytime any individual is sinful and corrupt in his being, he can take the blood of Jesus, make application of it in his life, and guess what? He is definitely going to be healed of sin. A beautiful passage is found in Zechariah 13:1. In fact, this is a passage upon which our previous song was based. "And in those days, there shall be a fountain open unto the house of David, unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and uncleanness." Folks, the prophecy there is of the blood of Jesus Christ. And notice he says there's going to be a fountain open. And what's it going to be for? It's going to be for sin. It's going to be for uncleanness. It's for iniquity. It's for the violation of the Word of God. We turn into the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." 1 John 1 verse 7 tells us that we are to walk in the light as He is in the light. And we have fellowship one with another. Now note the end part of that verse. "And the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin." Revelation 1 Verse 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Over and over and over in Scripture, the Bible assures us, affirms to us, that if you'll take the blood of Jesus and make application of it to sin in your life, then you will be forgiven. There's never been a person, not one, who has ever failed to be healed of the disease of sin by the blood of Jesus. Turn, if you will, in your Bible to number 600, or in your psalm book to 667. Folks, the reason that the blood of Jesus heals is because there is power in the blood.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder working power in the blood.
Secondly, when it comes to this particular medication, folks, there are no generics. No generics. What do we mean by that? Folks, what we're saying is this. There is only one name brand medication that individuals can go to and take in order to be cleansed of sin and iniquity. So oftentimes we go to the doctor and we ask him, don't we, are there any generics? And the reason we want a generic is because it costs a little bit less and we hope that it will do exactly what the name brand will do. Well, guess what? There are no generics. There's nothing else, absolutely nothing else, that can replace this particular cleansing agent. Folks, the blood of animals will not do it, for it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. Hebrews 10, verse 2. Notice also that the blood of man will not do it, and the reason is because there is not one human being who is without sin. For we have before concluded, both Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin. Folks, there's not a one of us who is perfect enough, who is holy enough, who is sinless, that can stand and shed our blood on behalf of any other human being. Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse man of sin. Notice what John said in John 1, verse 29, John the Baptist. And the next day, John seeth Jesus coming to him, and he saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Peter made that same affirmation, or at least a similar affirmation, in 1 Peter 1, verse 19. He tells us that we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Folks, there is no substitution for the blood of Christ. If we were to ask the question, what can wash away my sin? There's only one answer. Nothing but the blood of Christ. If you will, turn to number 454.
Would you
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood.
Another point that we would make is this: the blood of Jesus costs us absolutely nothing. When you go out there and you start buying medications, you find that some of those medications can be pretty costly, don't you? I've heard of individuals saying, every one of these pills costs me a dollar. Now, if you've got 30, that's quite a few pills, isn't it? There's others who say, this particular pill costs me $5 a pill, $10 a pill, $20 a pill. Folks, there's some that are even more costly than that. Notice some of these. One medication called Acthin Gel, if you needed that for the entirety of a year, it would cost you over $205,000. Another medication, Cinryze. If you needed that for a period of 1 year, it would cost you over $230,000. There's still another one. Calidice or Calideco, $299,000 per year. Naglazyme will cost you $485,000 plus. And the most expensive medication on the market is Soliness. It'll cost you $536,000 a year if you need it. Sometimes I see those kind of figures and I just ask myself, how in the world could anybody afford something like that? Don't you? We're grateful for insurance, aren't we? So that some of those costs can be subsidized by other individuals through those insurance plans. But folks, if we had to pay those kind of costs, most of us would just have to go home and just die of our disease, wouldn't we? Aren't you grateful that the blood of Jesus costs absolutely nothing? Not one dime does it cost. The Bible says in Romans 3, beginning at verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now notice this next statement. He says this, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In the Revelation, beginning at verse 17, He says this, and the bride and the Spirit say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst, come. And watch this, whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. Wow. Folks, what Jesus has to offer mankind costs us absolutely nothing. So oftentimes we as parents, because we love our children, we'll pay whatever we have to pay for medication, wouldn't we? That child doesn't pay one dime. Here's this child, ill and sick, and we'll go and we'll spend just as much money as needs to be spent in order to get that child well. That is exactly what God has done for us. Oh, the cost was high, was it not? Folks, it cost God the life of His Son, Jesus Christ, and He gave that upon the cross of Calvary. But guess what? It doesn't cost me or you a dime to have it in our lives. I want us to sing for the next song, number 53, at Calvary. And as we sing verses 1 and 2, I want you to pay close attention to the chorus of this particular song, number 53.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died.
Another point that we want to make about the blood of Jesus is that it's always available. Folks, there have been times when I have gone to certain pharmacies, and guess what? They ran out of that medication. I mentioned a while ago taking Tamiflu. I've gone and needed a prescription of Tamiflu. Walked into Walmart, walked into Walgreens, CVS, and guess what they tell me? The epidemic is so bad that we have run out of Tamiflu. I said, well, send me to another Walgreens. Walgreens is totally out of Tamiflu. Beth was talking to me the other day about her sister. Her sister's in a hospice care facility and she needs breathing medication. And she didn't get that one day. And they asked why. And guess why? We ran out. Folks, you don't run out of medicine. At least you're not supposed to, are you? It's supposed to be always available, or at least that's what we think. But when it comes to man-made medicines, it's not always readily available to us. But guess what? The blood of Jesus is always available. It doesn't matter who you are, and it doesn't matter where you are. The blood of Jesus is available. Notice some of these points. It was available to the Jews on the day of Pentecost, was it not? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, watch him, for the what? Remission of sins. It was available to those individuals. We go just a little bit further, and it was available to the Samaritans. Think about that, folks. These are half-breeds. These are individuals that the Jews despised, couldn't stand. And yet, Philip enters into Samaria, and when they believe Philip, preaching things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. It was available to the Samaritans. We find just a little bit later that it's available way out in the wilderness to one lone man known as the Ethiopian eunuch. And as he went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Acts 8, verse 36. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest, he said. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. It was available way out there in the wilderness to an Ethiopian eunuch. It was available to a corrupt individual by the name of Saul. Here was a man who was a persecutor of the church. He finally sees Jesus on the road to Damascus. A man is dispatched in order to talk to him, a man by the name of Ananias. And he asked him, and now why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22, verse 16. It was available to the very first Gentile, Cornelius. Peter stood in their house and said, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which receive the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. He and all that were in his house. It was also available to a Philippian jailer, was it not? And folks, in the 16th chapter of Acts, we find that jailer believing in the Christ, washing the stripes of those disciples of Jesus, and being immersed for the forgiveness of his sins. There is not any place, any person, anywhere wherein the blood of Jesus is not available to all humanity. Turn your Bibles to number 23. Notice what the song says. All things are ready. Come to the feast. Folks, there's never a time when things aren't ready for our salvation.
All things are ready, come to the feast, come for the table now is spread. Keep famishing, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed.
Another point we need to make is this. Folks, in order for medication to work, you must follow the directions. Mustn't you? Or you can have all the medicine you want at your disposal, but if you don't take it the way it needs to be taken for the prescribed amount of time that it needs to be taken, then guess what? It's just not going to work. Every medicine bottle that I've ever gotten has a label on it. It's got my name there, the doctor who gave it to me, and then it tells me exactly how he wants me to take it. Now, sometimes the directions are a little bit frustrating. I don't know about you, because I don't know all those abbreviations. Do you? Some of you do. AC, take before meals. I would never know that. Just with those letters AC. BM would be better, wouldn't it? Before meals. How about this one? BIC, twice a day. You see, I have to ask Kathleen. Kathleen, this thing's got BIC on it. Take it two times, Vic. Okay. What's this one? OD, once a day. Now, how do you go from BIC to OD? You tell me that. I don't know. Here's another one. PRN, as needed. Another one is this. PC. After meals, well, at least the AC, PC, you just have to remember which is A and which is P on that one. How about this one? QID, take daily. Another one, QOD, every other day. You see, folks, every medicine bottle will have information on it as to how to take the medicine. Well, guess what? The same is true when it comes to the blood of Christ. Now, think about the comparison that we're making. There's absolutely no cost to us, is it? Our Lord has provided the medication. He's given us His blood. We have it in our possession. He gives it to us and He says, this is the way that I need for you to take it. I don't know about you, if I'm sick and somebody bought me medication and on there are the directions, guess what this kid's going to do? He's going to follow the directions to the letter because I want to get well, don't you? Individuals ought to be that way when it comes to their spiritual salvation. We're sick. We're deathly ill. In fact, if we don't get cleansed of this, we're going to die. Here's the medication, the blood of Jesus. How do I take it? I want us to look at 4 points very quickly. Number one, to apply the blood of Jesus in our lives, folks, you have to follow the directions found in the New Testament. Let's start with the words of Jesus. Jesus said in John 8:24, I said therefore unto you, if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. So we see that in order for me to apply His blood to my life, in order for me to have the forgiveness of my sins, one of the things that I must do is believe. In Luke 13:3, He says this, I tell ye nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise what? Perish. So again, He's urging us what we need to do in order to have forgiveness. We must repent of our sins. We've got to die to that old way of living. And then it is our Lord who says this, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Saved from what, folks? Saved from sin. Saved from eternal death. Saved from condemnation because of the sin and iniquities in our life. He says, believe and do what? Be baptized. Jesus sets forth the prescription very easily, does He not? Believe, repent, be baptized in order to be forgiven of your transgressions. And yet we get to baptism, and what do individuals do? They balk, don't they? I'm amazed at how many denominations reject the concept that baptism is essential to salvation. And yet the Bible plainly teaches that it's necessary for that. Let's look at another point. Where did Jesus shed His blood, folks? The Bible says that Jesus shed His blood in His death, didn't He? There He was hanging upon the cross of Calvary, and He was a bloody mess from the beating that He took, from the nails that were driven into His hands and into His feet, and finally that soldier came, pierced His side, and forthwith came there out what? Blood and water. Now, if I want to touch the blood of Jesus, somehow I've got to touch the death of Jesus Christ. Paul writes something interesting in Romans 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, watch this, were baptized into His death. Folks, when you and I are baptized, we are baptized into the death of Jesus. And it is there that He shed His blood. The very moment that you and I are immersed in the waters of baptism, we come in contact with the precious cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. It's there that I touch His death and I am healed of my sins and my iniquities. Look at another point. What did Jesus say about the remission of sins and His blood? Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which was shed for many, watch this, for the remission of sins. In order to have remission of sins, in order to have the forgiveness of sins, there must be the blood of Jesus. Well, where do we have the remission of sins? What do you and I need to do in order to have that? The Bible tells us, doesn't it? Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, watch this, for the remission of sins. Acts 2, verse 38. Folks, the two phrases in both the Greek language and the English language are identical. For the remission of sins. Jesus said, my blood is for the remission of sins. Peter told those individuals on the day of Pentecost, be baptized, why? For the remission of sins. Because it's there. And we come into contact with Jesus' blood. One more point. In the Revelation chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible talks about the righteous. And the righteous have their robes, watch this, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Isn't that something? At some point in time, those individuals had their robes, their spiritual robes, that were dirty, stained with sin, washed in the blood of Christ. Do you remember what Ananias told Saul? "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Folks, it's in baptism that we touch the cleansing agent of Jesus' blood and our robes are washed of all the stain and all the iniquity of the violations of God's Word that you and I have committed. It is absolutely essential for individuals to believe, repent, confess the name of Jesus, and be immersed into Christ in order to receive the forgiveness of sins. That's what says. That's what the Bible says. I want us to sing three verses of the next song. Wonderful words of what? Folks, wonderful words of life. You see, what's contained in here are the instructions. These are the directions to make application of Jesus' blood in my life so that I what? So that I don't die and so that I do live forever and ever and ever. Wonderful words of life.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words.
There was one time that I was sick for several days without any medications whatsoever and in just an unbelievable amount of pain. Kathleen and I had taken a trip to the Caribbean, and over there I got a severe eye infection. In fact, it affected both eyes. Went to the doctor over there twice, and guess what? No medication whatsoever was given. So from Wednesday night until Sunday morning, this old kid was in some major pain. We flew into Miami. We had to drive all the way. No, we flew into Atlanta. We had to drive all the way from Atlanta to Paris. And then I had to wait an entire night before I finally got medication. Well, I say that. Some friends of ours finally brought over some painkillers. And I took those. And that was on Saturday night. Finally, there was a little bit of relief. But folks, here's the point. After taking the proper medication, guess what? We can be restored to our health, can't we? Most of the time when you and I are ill, when you and I are sick, there's something out there, some medication, that if you'll take it the way it's supposed to be taken, within just a few days, we are right back to our healthy way of living, aren't we? There's a lot of people in our world today who are sick spiritually. And folks, they need the right medication. And the medication is the blood of Jesus Christ. And here's the promise. If you and I take that medication, then guess what? Our old, sick, spiritual man can be healed. In fact, the Bible says we can become a new man. For our invitation song, I want us to sing number 881. We haven't sung this song very much, but it's a beautiful song. There is a balm in Gilead. My friend, if you're not a Christian, we want you to be. We've told you what you need to do. Believe, repent of sins, confess the name of Jesus, and touch His blood in the waters of baptism. Dear Christian, where are you in your life? Do you need the cleansing blood in your life because of sin? Maybe you need to confess that sin and ask God to forgive it. And He'll do so with the blood of Jesus, according to 1 John 1, verse 9. Do you need to respond as together we stand?